The Christian Church suffers not only from her own sins, but also at the hands of those who abide outside her walls. The world and the devil seek to destroy what they cannot control, and so she suffers their violent attacks, their attempts to tear down what God has built up and profane what he has hallowed. She is afflicted, tempest-tossed, and uncomforted. She is hurt and restless. We know this. We are well versed in the persecutions of the early church, the countless martyrs slain on account of the faith. We know the accounts of Stephen, Peter, and Paul. We know them all well, but we also live it. To be sure, not in the same manner or to the same degree, perhaps, as those of old, but we live it nevertheless. We are threatened and terrorized by the religion of peace. We are despised and berated by pro-choice advocates. Our children are indoctrinated with a host of errors in the name of science and academic freedom. Our adversaries wait at the gates, ready to attack with religious fervor, while our politicians seek to assuage us with empty rhetoric, and their pundits burden our consciences with guilt that a vote for a man on principle is a vote for the opposition. We are free, yet held captive by the philosophies of this age. We are confused, even jaded and tired, and we suffer pain, injury, and loss at the hands of evil men. We are not unique, but neither are we alone. Jesus suffers with you. He suffers for you. Or do you not know that all those who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? So that you are partakers of his suffering, crucifixion, death, and burial, to be, so to speak, co-crucified, co-interred, to be included in, wrapped round his suffering, crucifixion, death, and burial, and gathered in his very tomb through holy baptism. And if united with him in his death, shall you not also, therefore, be united with him, included in and wrapped round his very resurrection? God became man. He took on our flesh to redeem it from the evils of this world. Jesus Christ, born of Mary and begotten of the Father, is the righteousness in whom we are established. His suffering and death, his crucifixion and burial atone for our sins, and his resurrection affects our justification. He cleanses us from all unrighteousness, not just that inflicted by our own sins, but that which is inflicted upon us by the sins of others. We have now the forgiveness of sins, which gives life, salvation, clears the conscience, restores to health, and brings relief to the suffering. We have now been established in him who is righteousness, yet we still suffer. We still endure the birth pains of the new creation, waiting in eager expectation for the resurrection, where we will be brought from this valley of sorrows to Mount Zion, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to the innumerable angels in festal gathering, to the church of the firstborn, to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. Now we are righteous, but we await our perfection, even glorification, when we will be adorned with his glory, whose radiance is like a most rare jewel, like a jasper clear as crystal, when the foundation that is laden with sapphire will reflect the resplendence of the blood of the Lamb slain, and when every tear will be wiped from our eyes. He is for us. Nothing shall prosper against us. This is the heritage of the church, whose vindication is from the Lord, and all this is yours, for you belong to him. In the holy name of Jesus.